Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
It's a morning smash GleeCast.
Oh. You're gonna, oh boy.
And I slept fine. I went to bed at maybe 11:30, woke up at 8:30. No excuse. I can tell you, do you want to know why I have Smash in my mind?
Why?
Because I had the most awesome dream about Smash ever.
Sweet.
No, it was a dream that I was just watching. Like, I wasn't in Smash in any way. So, in my dream, Ivy's on Broadway in Bombshell, and she's doing great and awesome, and, like, everybody's writing her up. And, of course, like, because it's Smash, they have to do something terrible to her. So, she goes to the doctor for a checkup and finds out that the doctor gives her really hard news. And the news is that Ivy Lynn has syphilis.
No.
Yeah, that was my dream. And it gets better, though, because then she has to go tell Derek, and he just can't even look at her, so he walks away. So that's where that part of the dream ended, but the dream continued because, you know, that's only half a Smash. The other half is Karen Cartwright doing her thing in Hit List, and, like, in the dream, it was a really hard perspective dream because I don't know whose perspective I had, but, like, at one point, somebody involved in, like, the stage managing or directing makes a point about Karen's part, and they're like, there's another actress that is, like, sick, and they're like, oh, no, we have to make sure she's okay. I mean, you know, really, this is the lead part. And within the dream, I had commentary of, wait, I thought the diva was the lead. I thought Karen Curry was, like, there's another person in Hit List? Like, what is this show about? And then Karen Curry was doing really bad, and, like, her big number, she forgot everything, and she fell off the stage. And, like, so she just started, like, riding around on the floor, thinking she was being, like, really sexy and it was working, except not thinking that the only people that could see her were people in the front row.
So she was doing a Carmen Carrera?
Yeah, she was totally pulling a Carmen Carrera! So that was my dream about Smash, and I woke up and I'm, like, writing down now, best dream ever. yeah, I didn't watch this week's episode yet, though, so I don't know if it was prophetic at all. I didn't find it.
I didn't have any dreams about Smash, and I'm still not current, so
it's a shame.
It's a dirty shame.
A syphilitic shame.
But this is GleeCast, and it's pretty early Sunday morning. It's about 9 a.m.
a.m., which is very early for Erica. For me, it's normally not that early, but today, for whatever, it's feeling early.
It's not, like, obscenely early. It's just that, like, it's the time I sleep in until on Sundays, and so I just woke up at, like, 8:30, so.
Right. So you're losing the recovery time you'd normally have at this point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I have a theme for this week's GleeCast. Would you like to hear it?
I do.
It coincides, well, you just made it coincide with the episode, with your dream. I had a different take on the episode. I'm considering it the multitasking episode. So this episode of GleeCast is brought to you by My Laundry and Multitasking.
Nice.
Because you had to multitask to get through this week's episode.
That's a good point. I watched it Friday morning before I went to work. So that did mean I turned it on while I was making coffee, while I was eating breakfast, while I was checking my email, and then brushing my teeth, kind of like I run, put the toothpaste on, run outside and brush my teeth while watching, and then go rinse it. So, yeah, it was for me as well. And I think that is a very important thing for this episode.
Yeah, because it's really boring. It's not that nothing happens.
It's pretty boring.
It's just boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which seems to be the popular opinion, I think.
I think so, I would say. Before we get to the episode, we should say the announcement about Glee renewed for 2 years.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's surprising. It's surprising because they've been, up to now, they've only been doing one-year renewals. And on one hand, you know, with any big flagship show, you want to lock it down for multiple years, you know. The other hand, it's weird that as the show is declining, and it's not a flop, it's not Smash right now, but still, it's, you know, it's certainly not getting the same ratings or attention it used to, that they would then write, and I don't know if that was part of it, if right now Ryan's like, okay, let's get 2 years out of this thing, because we might not get a second year otherwise, I don't know.
When do contract renewals come up for cast members? Is that, like, per season, or are they going to do it for 2 seasons?
It can be both. You never really quite know when it is. And sometimes it's different for different characters. With Glee, I would think everybody has only been getting 1 year contracts.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing everybody's up for negotiation again soon. Which is going to be really interesting, because obviously, you know, the show could afford to make a lot of changes in terms of who they keep and who they don't keep. And I don't know, there was some talk on message boards that is the 2-year deal the, like, final 2-year deal, where they're going to give him 2 years so that Ryan Murphy can close it up in year two.
I hope so.
Yeah, because I know that Oxygen hadn't renewed the Glee project yet,
because they were waiting.
And the rumor was they had no idea if it was going to come back or not. And also, I don't think season 2 of the Glee project did very well for Oxygen.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I mean, I really like the Glee project because I think it has the heart that Glee doesn't in a lot of ways.
It definitely does.
Yeah. So, I would really love for it to come back, but I don't know. And I'm not sure. In general.
Oh, Mjolnir. Oh, she jumped up on the computer. It's fine. You can still hear me, right?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. My bed is, like, full of laundry, and the computer is off to the side of it on top of a box, and she has to come up on that corner, even though there's 15 other places she could have gotten up. And now she's walking through the pile of hangers I'm using. All right, well.
That makes sense.
Anyway, you were saying. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No. Believe me, I understand. Mookie is just planted on my lap, and I just need to make sure he doesn't move, because if he does, he's going to pull wires out of the computer and stuff. Yeah, it'll be really interesting this contract round to see who's staying, who's going, who's getting 1 year, who's getting 2 years, all that stuff. Because that will also tell us a lot about where season 5 is going to go, because it can go a lot of different directions.
As
we expected them to do this season, and they really haven't, so we don't know.
We shall see.
All right, so this episode titled Sweet Dreams was written by Ross Maxwell, who was one of the staff writers. Other episodes he wrote were Hold On to 16, which I liked, Sadie Hawkins, which I did not like, and the Whitney episode, which I think we both really liked.
Yeah, surprisingly.
And it was directed by Elodie Keene, which is kind of a cool name, who did a lot of directing on season 1, including Mattress, which is one of, I think, Glee's best episodes.
At least one of the more memorable.
Yeah. All right, so the Glee cap, here's what happened. Having all survived a terribly named episode about gunshots, New Directions finds themselves all facing, or trying to create, their new direction. Marley whines a lot about her original songs, which means we, of course, have to eventually hear everyone sing them and their praise. Roz takes over the Cheerios and begins an investigation of sorts on Blaine, which then reminds us that A, he's still a Cheerio, and B, he was actually planning on taking Sue Sylvester down a few months ago. Remember that? I didn't. Anyway, in Outer Lima, Finn is enjoying college life, but not classes, though roommate/auditor Puck helps him get his focus back and get college credit for helping out with the Glee Club, now that Will has stopped being an asshole and realizes he needed people or something. Back in New York, Rachel auditions for Funny Girl with the help of Shelby, her Facebook friend and mother, and get this, gets a call back. Kurt did some baking. Becky keeps on faking, and Finn, some bikini top taking, and that's what you missed on Glee. I think we can sum it up with, I think Brianne made this point last week in her email. The biggest issue about the season of Glee is there is nothing to bring me back after every episode. There is no story continuity. The only thing they had like that was when Marley passed out at regionals, which was annoying and one of the most awful episodes. But it was like, oh, at least there's a cliffhanger. Because there has been no momentum this season of what's going to happen next. And it's, you know, the biggest thing is they don't have any stories. And I think the biggest example of this for me this week, I'm just going to jump down to the Roz thing, to the black suit. Because the whole scene with Blaine, it was like, I didn't realize it until the very end of the episode. I'm like, oh, remember like 2 months ago when Blaine and Sam had this big reveal that they were plotting to bring down Sue Sylvester once and for all?
Funny thing you remember, because the writers don't.
Clearly not. Granted, the preview for next week did kind of show Blaine and Sam, like, talking to Sue or something that made me think, like, oh, maybe that comes back. But, like, this episode, it was, like, even Blaine was like, yeah, I kind of forgot why I am a Cheerio.
Yep.
Right. But, you know, some listeners remember. Not many, probably. Some do. And so it was just such evidence of, you know, the show doesn't know how to, you know, juggle its characters. It doesn't understand when characters aren't working. It doesn't understand that, you know, take Will and Emma, you're going to have this plot where they're broken up and, you know, big wedding, she doesn't show up. Oh, my God, what does it mean for their relationship? And then just throw it away to the line next week that they're back together. Like, it's one thing for a show to be about kind of the style and what happens in it rather than the overarching story. But when what happens in it isn't that interesting to begin with, you've got to rely on your overarching story.
Yeah, that's some problems. Right. And I mean, since we started talking about Roz, like, I feel like when Sue and Roz were against each other, like, they had similar but different personalities. But now that Sue is gone, they just wrote Sue's lines for
Roz.
Roz.
Oh, without question.
And it's like, well, you just got rid of her. Why are we rehashing this character with a different character?
They don't know how else to handle it.
It's just silly. Like, they could have done the polar opposite. She could have come in and just been, like, really awesome, and the kids could have liked her. Like, just to do something different with that position. Like,
right. And they could have even had her have the same attitude, but, you know, her goal is different. And no, they just can't think that far.
Yeah, like, start working with the swim team instead of the Cheerios. Like, right. Just something different. Doing the same shit over and over. Come on, Glee.
It's a problem. And I don't even know what the shit done was. What? So I guess that scene was to show us that Blaine realizes something's off with Becky, I think.
I guess, because that's all that I got out of it. Mm-hmm. And that Roz took that position now.
I guess. All right. So that was that part.
Yeah.
Finn and Puck.
This was cute.
It was stupid, but yeah, it was stupid because I remember the whole, like, Finn saying, okay, he's going to be a teacher, but I don't remember him actually going to college. Did I miss that, or was it?
This was, like, a new development. Like, he decided yesterday to go to college.
Like, it just started with him in college, okay. And that there's a University of Lima.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lima has an awful lot going around in that town.
All right, Sunnydale, you one Starbucks town.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it was just as easy as it could be. But they did have some fun, like, you know, like the ironing sandwiches was cute.
Yeah, because you do that in college, I mean.
Yeah.
Not us, because we had kitchens, but, you know.
I had a farming grill, so, you know.
Well, your second year you had kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, was it necessary? No. Was it fun? Yeah. I don't know. And you know what? I don't even enjoy Mark Sailing as much as I used to. His hair is just terrible now.
Oh, his hair's awful in this one.
I didn't even mind the dead squirrel that much, but this is just bad news. Like,
I agree. It's like, it's almost Hitler, not Hitler youthy, but it's like.
It is. No, it is.
Yeah, it is a little Hitler youthy.
And he's very puffy. Did you notice that?
He's like, a little puffy. He looks like he's getting older. And
yeah.
Fine, except he's probably like
on a high school show.
Yeah, and it's
he definitely
like,
is. He was born the same year as me. He's turning 30 this year.
And that's the thing. It's like some actors can pull it off. Like, you know, Finn looks, you know, he's a pass. And he's older than us, I think, right?
Yeah, I think he's like 35. Oh, I know. Yeah. I wanted to make a really, really mean comment.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I was going to pay him a compliment. I was going to say he looks a lot better than he did when the show started. Like, he's all svelte and his face is thinned out and stuff. But then I was going to make a really terrible dickish comment where.
Because of meth?
Well, no. Do you think this episode is what caused his relapse? He was like filming all these drinking scenes and he was like, man, I miss beer pong. Like, and that caused his relapse.
It's possible.
It's a terrible.
That would be sad.
Well, and it's Lee's fault. Like, he's like,
yeah.
Fuck you, Ryan Murphy. You're the reason I'm back in rehab. He's Glee. That'd be pretty good. We could start talking about the trial instead of Glee then, if that happens.
That'd be fascinating. Like, we're reading in the Inquirer every week.
Yeah.
You think it's read the Inquirer again and do the crossword puzzle?
That was my mean comment of the day.
I'm fine with it and support it. He was born May 11th, 1982, so he is my age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then it kind of ended with us learning that Finn's going to be back working with Will with the new directions, which I'm fine with, because,
yeah.
I don't know, I liked him in the choir room.
Yeah, we didn't mind him in that position, so.
Oddly enough, and Puck is going to still be auditing or something, I don't know.
He's going to be auditing classes. He doesn't know what that means, but that's okay.
Along with that, we had Will, who was kind of being just an asshole this week.
Oh my god, he was such a dick this week.
And I guess it was supposed to be because of the pressure of, you know, not quite winning regionals and stuff, or sectionals, but he's just being a jerk to the kids, and, like, the kids are voting his ideas down, and he's like, how dare you question my authority? And he's giving, like, really inappropriate insults to Unique.
Yeah, super inappropriate.
Yeah. So that happened, and then he sees the error of his ways. I forget why. Why did he see his error? Oh, no, I know why. Do you remember why?
I don't.
It has to do with D. If you're looking at my outline, anyway. Marley's songs.
Oh, yeah. Marley's songs. Oh,
okay, so we learned last week that Marley writes songs. Not like we thought that would pay off at all.
Yeah.
So now it's a thing. And in the whole episode, she's like, guys, I have songs. I have some songs. You want to hear my songs?
No.
And,
no.
And then, exactly. And Mumsy's like, no, bitch, we don't want to hear your songs. We know they're awful.
That was a good moment.
It was, yes.
She yelled at her.
Everybody's like, no, we don't. So then finally, Marley writes a song, and everybody sings it, and they're like, Will sees it. He happens to be walking by. It's the right moment.
Good.
Say, you're right. We're going to use Marley's songs.
Ugh.
That was that. And I guess the last thing is New York City, where a young Miss Rachel Berry. Okay, people, because now I'm worried that this show is going to give a lot of wrong ideas to the young musical theater kids in the making who are going to see this and be like, oh, wow, if I move to New York, I can go audition for the lead in a Broadway show?
Yeah.
Probably not.
They don't. Well, they made that. They did make
they
that
did.
Comment.
They
not
made
that
the reference of, like, why are we doing a cattle call for Funny
yeah.
Girl? But, yeah, it doesn't really do that. It doesn't really work that way anymore.
You get it actually, it works sort of more in the Smash way, where you have producers who look for someone who already has a name.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most common way now is, okay, what movie star or Broadway star can we get to play this role? Okay, if no one's interested, let's start looking, you know, within our own circle and see, do we have people who've been understudies that, you know, can do this maybe?
Or in the chorus.
Yeah, I mean, yes, we had a reality show where we got Adana and Sandy and Grease. It will never happen again because it didn't do very well in the ratings, and they've tried to do more since then. They tried to do an Annie one that I think fell through.
And technically, we got the lead of Rock of Ages from a reality show.
You could say that. Yes. That's the other way you can get to Broadway is you can go on American Idol and not win. And
have a show written for you.
Was it written for him?
I think it was written with him in mind.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I think. Because that part was made for him. You're breaking up. Wait, stop.
Okay.
You were breaking up and I couldn't understand you and we were talking over each other anyway. Go ahead.
We had a lot to say about Konstantin Maroulis.
We did. I still have more to say on him. We'll keep going.
I got to see Justin Guarini in Broadway.
Oh. In Rock of Ages?
No, in, oh God, it was awful. It was based on the Pedro Almodovar film, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown.
Oh.
The show was awful, but the cast was like Patti LuPone and Laura Benanti. Like, it was an amazing cast, and individually everyone was awesome. Sherry Renee Scott was in it, and he was actually really good. I was genuinely surprised that he held his own in it, because I never thought much of him on American Idol, and I've seen from Dustin to Kelly, so I know what he can do on the big screen.
That's basically what happened with Konstantin, is we wanted to go see Rock of Ages, Lisa and I, because Tom Lenk was in it, Whedon-esque fame, and I was like, oh, this Konstantin douche is in it, and then we went to go see it, and I liked him better than Tom Lenk, because he was much nicer to us, and he was really, really good in the role. That was my first comment. My second comment is, do you know that he is in the Jekyll and Hyde revival now?
Yes, I've heard that he is actually very good in it. I know somebody who saw previews and said the show is not going to – they were saying like it's not going to last.
Yeah.
But that he was actually fantastic.
He is a really good performer. And, like, I hated him. I think I watched that season of American Idol, or I watched, like, parts of it, and I hated
him. That was the Carrie Underwood one, right?
I think so.
I think I actually – because I never really watched American Idol, but for whatever reason, I watched most of that season. And I
just
remember
hated him.
I didn't hate him. I hated the way Ryan Seacrest talked to him and the way the camera followed him, because the camera would always do this thing where it would, like, circle around him, and so he would just, like, sing but watch it with his eyes, and it was always really unsettling, and Ryan Seacrest always had to point it out, and I just, it all annoyed me.
But yeah, I think as a Broadway performer, he's really good, actually. So, right. Anyway, okay, that was a good detour. Yay, Constantine.
And so that leaves us with plot-wise. Oh, right. So anyway, Rachel is trying to figure out to sing. She's going to do Barbara, but then Shelby's like, no, you can't do Barbara. So Rachel's like, okay, I won't do Barbara. And she does Don't Stop Believin', and she gets a call back.
I didn't hate this. Did you hate this?
No, because, I mean, this is what I want my Glee to be. I signed on to Glee in the beginning because it was a show about people singing phenomenally, you know, so that's what I want. I'd rather this than Marley sing her cute songs about friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't hate, I've never hated Shelby, but.
Right. I mean, for me, just the only thing was, like, it was really, I mean, predictable, obviously. Like, okay, I know when the phone's going to ring. It's going to ring. They didn't build this up for nothing. Like, Yeah.
And I guess the only thing is that they could have, I guess it wouldn't be in his character. I was going to say they could have given Shelby's part to Kurt,
mm-hmm.
but I guess it wouldn't be in Kurt's character to be like, no, don't do Barbara.
I don't know. I think that's a good point. I think it could have.
And the other thing I noticed, which I guess is a stray observation, but I'll say it now. Did you notice that Shelby and Rachel were dressed alike for the scene? They were wearing, like, the same color palette in the same positions on their body.
I totally did not notice that.
Yeah. I was like, did they do this on purpose? Like, did they dress them alike for us?
It's possible.
Funny.
Oh, and we should mention Rachel also has a phone call with Finn where he kind of also encourages her and helps her figure out what to sing, which was nice. And I like the kind of rapport they have now.
Yeah. Because you could be friends. Like, I'm not now, but after high school, I was friends with my high school ex for a while, and then we dated again, but, you know, that's besides the point. that's feasible. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, so songs.
Let me actually.
Yeah, because you're going to have
pull that up.
The first one, it was Rachel and Shelby. There weren't that many. There were only 5 songs this episode.
Yeah. See, I didn't know this song. Why do I have 15 emails all of a sudden? That's bizarre. It's in my drafts. Let me just get there.
I'm gonna guess it was called Next to Me.
Yes, it was, and it's by. Okay. I guess it's Emily. It's E M E L I. Emily Sandy. Sunday, because the E had a. Tilde, or not a tilde, the other one, the pointy one.
I don't know what any of them are called, but I hate this woman for spelling her name
like that. I didn't know the song at all, so, like, it was fine, because it was Shelby and Rachel.
And Rachel, it's 2 Broadway voices singing pop. Only thing I didn't like was, I'm like, this, like, the point of this is to be like, you know, here's what you could sing for an audition. And I'm like, no, you can't. You can't sing this. The song doesn't show your vocal range. It doesn't do anything. But it was a fine moment.
Yeah. Then we had
Fight for Your Right.
Fight for Your Right by the Beastie Boys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, was fun.
It was fine. It was much like when they did Hot for Teacher.
Yeah. Well, in the style of song. But, I found it interesting that they gave an excuse for them to be, and this goes back to what I was talking about, where, well, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but that Glee doesn't do fantasy numbers anymore.
Yeah.
Everything has a place and a time, and this was one of those instances where they had to have the line, oh, I can't believe our stereo broke and you played music for us, thanks. Like,
right.
It's like that could have just been a fun party scene where they were playing along to the stereo, blah, blah, blah.
Instead, it's like, remember, in this universe, people only sing when there's a reason to, and it's socially acceptable.
Which is just frustrating.
Yeah, because it could have been a fantasy sequence, and it could have been, like, because at first I almost thought it was because of the slip and slide.
I have things to say about the slip and slide. Go ahead.
Yeah, say them.
Oh, they're kind of low notes. I'll save them.
Oh, okay. But yes, the point, like, it felt like they could have gone further with the fantasy element then at that point.
Yeah, and with the music. Because, I mean, they kind of did in the opening with the fucking Harlem Shake thing, which is also a low note.
Do I even know what, wait, where?
It was the opening with Finn walking around college and everybody was doing the Harlem Shake.
Oh, yeah, I just didn't notice it.
What do you mean you didn't? notice it. It was every time he spoke, he would walk into a room and there'd be one person in a helmet dancing, and then it would be like, the music hits that part where it's like, boom, 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 and then all of a sudden the entire room is full of screaming people in bikinis dancing. You don't remember this?
I don't think I realized they were Harlem shaking. I thought they were all just dancing.
From the song that went, do the Harlem shake.
I know that there is a thing called the Harlem shake. I never listened to the song.
All right, fine. I'll let it go. But I'm yeah, it's just, again, it's just Glee having to do every fucking, it's Glee SVU. That's what it is. Still has to say on the topic.
That's brilliant, and I love it. Then we had what I titled, what I like to call, Marley's Stupid Friend Song.
Okay, now this one was interesting. It's called You Have More Friends Than You Know, and it actually was credited on Wikipedia, whereas the other original composition was only credited as original composition.
Interesting.
This one is by Mervyn Warren, who I Wikipedia'd, and he's like an accomplished score writer for films.
Okay.
And Jeff Marx, who's one of the creators of Avenue Q.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, so I don't... This song, You Have More Friends Than You Know, the one that they did around the piano.
It would be much cuter if it was, like, puppets.
If it was puppets. Like, and I don't know, I didn't look that deeply. I don't know what the song was written for. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was specifically written for Glee or if it's just a song that they had written that Ryan Murphy heard that he was like, hey, I want to use this.
And I get that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know exactly, but I thought it was so boring based on where it came from.
It's a, yeah. I mean, it's a song about friends. And it's like, friend, you're my friend.
Yeah, and like if it was written for Avenue Q, then it makes a little more sense because I could see them putting that in that show where it's puppets singing it, and it's kind of like, you know.
But if it was, it would have more cursing in it, and it would be funny.
Yeah. But it would be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's that song.
It gets a low grade from me.
Yeah, and then Rachel's doing Don't Stop Believing,
mm-hmm.
which was great.
It was great. Did you have the same question I had? Your first instinct when you saw all the kids? Because then they bring in, like, Kurt and my first... I'm like, I know I felt that way. I was like, is that unique or Mercedes?
No, I knew it was Mercedes. But I did make the comment that Amber Rose looks, like, positively huge. I feel like she's gotten bigger.
Looking at it, at first I was like, are they... Because looking at it, I'm like, are they using
footage from
season one? Because Kurt also looks... I think, like, they kind of did his hair back to the way it used to be, where it's kind of, like, parted over, right?
It's the way it was now, because that's what I looked at to tell with season one.
Because I looked at Tina's hair to tell, and I could tell she had, like, the big ombre curls, so I'm like, oh, no, that's Tina now.
Tina looks exactly the same, but Kurt...
Exactly. That's how I realized, I'm like, oh, that's not old Mercedes. Ooh.
Remember Kurt used to do the hair thing all the time, because it was down and across his... Yeah. It was down and across his forehead, and he used to... I'm making the motion now. You can't see me.
No, but I know the motion.
He used to do the little hair push that we loved, and all his hair was, like, up, and he was too tall. He was taller than everyone. He was shorter than everyone when the show started. So it was them now, and, yeah, Amber Riley, man. What are you doing, girl?
Well, exactly. What is she doing? Yeah. Not being ugly. Even though I get the feeling that she's like, hey, Ryan, if you want me ugly, I'm here.
I'm here. And did you get the feeling that I feel like Chris just looked really annoyed during the song?
He's like, here I am singing back and for Rachel yet again.
Yeah, he did. And I'm not even saying Kurt. I'm saying Chris. Like, Chris Colfer looked like he was genuinely annoyed to be in that scene.
Well, because, I mean, and how many episodes have we had that... Like, have just the only use of Kurt has been throwing Kurt in a scene with Rachel so that he can comfort her or straighten her out. Like, he hasn't had a storyline in a really long time.
No, he hasn't.
Like, it does look like next week, because I guess Sarah, Jessica Parker comes back, so it looks like he gets something to do next week. Because you didn't see the previews, I guess?
No, I didn't, because I watched it online.
Okay. Yeah, they show she comes back and, like, says to Kurt, like, I need you or something.
He has to make a choice between the fashion world and the music world?
Maybe. It looks like potentially. And I can't remember what else to show.
Be interesting.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just because I really do feel like they're just, like, as contract negotiations come up, like, Chris Colfer can be like, hey, you know, I might start a career of my own since all you seem to use me for is to bake cookies for Rachel.
Since I've, you know, written two books and made a movie and,
like,
I have this legion of fans that I can do my own thing with.
Maybe I can find something. Yeah, I mean, I would really not be sad if in the negotiations anybody ends up leaving, because they really do need to shed people and focus on something. Yeah, just don't get rid of Court Overstreet.
Yeah, he's the only good thing right now.
Exactly.
And then the last song was called Outcast, and it was just credited as original composition.
Okay, I called it the Up With People finale.
Yeah, because that's what it was.
That's what it was. And everybody sang. And they all stood in line, and we saw them walk close to each other, and...
Yep.
Yet again. Like, and especially this episode, that could have ended in New York.
Yeah.
Like, the last piece could have been Rachel getting the call and being like, I got the call back.
And it would have been, like, it would have left with a better ending. Like, I would have felt better about the ending. I probably would have changed my perspective on the episode.
Yeah, I mean, they could have even ended with the phone call without us knowing what she said.
Oh,
like, it could have just been, like, her phone rings. Cut. You know, next week on Glee. Like, it just, and instead it was like, oh, I got a call back. And now, back in Lima, everybody's happy, and they're montaging. Yeah. Again.
All right, well, high notes.
Okay. The line, Tina had a line, which was, it made me realize I have no idea if I'm on the Cheerios.
Yeah.
Which was meta, but it was like, fine, because it was Tina, and it's one of those, like, yeah, like, I would have, for Blaine, it would have been like, oh, no, of course. But for Tina, it's like, oh, yeah. I have a note, Blaine in the Cheerios scene was kind of amusing, but I don't know what that's about.
I think you mean the only scene where he was in the Cheerios outfit is the scene in Roz's office.
I mean, I guess I thought he was good in it. I thought maybe, like, his expressions were funny.
He was, as he repeated back everything she was saying.
Yeah, that's right. Because then him and Becky were trying to, like, yeah, because then she's making him, like, repeat a mantra. And it was that the execution of that was actually quite funny to me.
It was. We had the same last note.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was Sam.
Yeah. Sam and Evan. Evan Evans.
Evan Evans. Like, Court Overstreet's just adorable, and he's bringing, like, such a great energy to the show that it otherwise, like, if you took him out of Lima, ugh.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
It would be painful.
Mirner just got stuck under a blanket. It was pretty funny.
Aww.
she likes to crawl under, like, the blanket I have on my bed, but it's not like my comforter, just like the blanket I have on top of the bed, so it's in a big ball. And she likes to crawl under it, but then she crawled under it. I forgot she was there, and I pushed my computer back, and it, like, sealed it shut. And all of a sudden, it was moving, and I was
just
like,
oh. A little, like, arm movement.
Yeah. Oh.
She's good to humble. Cats need to be humbled once in a while.
She's free. Low notes?
That was your only high note?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mine were all pretty simple, like, oh, University of Lima, right, and open auditions for Funny Girl. Yeah, sure, of course. But really the one that really bugged me was within 5 minutes of the episode, we had somebody making a joke and making light about the gun episode from the week before.
Yeah.
Which kind of pissed me off.
Well, because they're contradicting themselves. Like, you tried to do something serious, and now you're making fun of it anyway, and you did a bad episode anyway.
Yeah, and it just felt like, oh, I feel dirty.
Low notes. I hate, did you notice Rachel's nails? She has point. This is, like, a new trend, and I don't understand it. People filing their nails into points.
Ew, no. Yeah. Why would people do that?
I don't know. They look like little, like, claws. Like, they're, like, a badger or something. I don't know. They look gross, and Rachel has them, and I hate it. So that was low note.
Imagine, like, oh, I have something in my eye. Let me get it out. Oh, my God.
Like, Yeah, it was gross.
I didn't know this, and I'm really disturbed.
I'm sorry. And then my issue with the slip and slide is that they were slip and sliding on, like, a hard linoleum floor.
And
they were flinging themselves at it. Like, there's a reason that a slip and slide is an outdoor toy, so that you're flinging yourself onto grass, not onto a hard dorm room floor. Like, I don't know. It just looked really painful. I was like, you're all going to have really bad bruises tomorrow. And that's probably just me being an old lady. But
I was going to say, I'm like, it's, you know, it's youth. Like, you don't think about it then. And your senses are all dulled because you've been playing beer pong all day.
Yep. But it really bothered me. I was like, this must hurt so much. but yeah, that's...
I can understand that. All right. So those were our highs and lows. I don't think either of us particularly cared for this episode.
I mean, it was just like nothingness. Like, they were like, bleh.
Yeah, it just, it just felt phoned in so many, from so many different lines, if you will. We do have one piece of feedback.
We do.
We do. Now, let me say, this is going to be the last bit of email from Wayne Kotke.
It is?
Because as of, as you probably know, Mail Order Zombie, which is a podcast that's been around for quite a long time, is coming to an end. So they're closing out, and Wayne Kotke was born with Mail Order Zombie. So starting next week, we get to say, Joe.
Oh, I don't get to be confused anymore.
No, well, you might, as he said, he's like, you might still be confused, but it's going to be for the other way.
Yeah, because I'm always the one who's like, Wayne, Joe, Bob Wayne.
Wayne, Bob, Joe. All right, so Wayne, who titles his email, Sweet Dreams for Glee, Bitter Nightmares for Wayne. And he writes, Fanny and Bryce, well, that was a piece of shit. Yours most sincerely, Wayne Kotke. P.S. Okay, I feel I should say more here. Like, for instance, why Sweet Dreams was an episode of shit. Where to even begin? How do you review an episode so blatantly false, so horribly contrived, so ineptly written and acted? This is amateur stuff, Lee. You're in your fourth season. In its fourth season, 20 years ago, The Simpsons went on to one of the greatest winning streaks in television history, producing a string of episodes whose influence is still being felt today. In contrast, Glee is wheezing and sputtering through its fourth season, relying on gimmick, shameless manipulation, and narcissistic nostalgia. The Lima part of the show is absolutely unsalvageable and is borderline unwatchable. If Glee has a future, and judging by that two-season renewal notice from Fox, it definitely does, that future is in New York with Rachel and Kurt. Lea Michele, whatever they're paying you, it's not enough. You're carrying the show now. But now, let's dump all the puzzle pieces on the floor and try to put this thing together, huh? The entire Finn, Puck, Lima state story was beneath contempt. It was just a string of really stupid, lazy college cliches half-heartedly thrown together, and it somehow ended up with Puck lecturing Finn on the true meaning of something or other. I forget. But that reminds me, Glee has got to cut back on the sappy, sentimental music that tells us how to feel during those preachy, heartwarming scenes. But Wayne, how else are we going to know how to feel? Come on. Did you have something to say?
You heard me?
I heard you go. Yes,
I was going to say, is it bizarre that I'm reading along with you as I'm like reading the email as you read it, and I got to the, he wrote got in capitals, and I went, he's comparing Glee to Game of Thrones? I now read the word got as Game of Thrones. Okay, good.
Well, but then it usually would be capital G, lowercase, yeah, or capital C.
I know, but
to write out.
I know, but
I understand.
It's still 9:45. It's still early.
No, that happens to me. Like somebody, oh god, I don't even remember what they said, but like somebody made a reference that had nothing to do with Game of Thrones, but it like potentially could have, and I was totally like, oh, oh no, never mind.
Oh, that's not what you meant. All right.
Speaking of though, how excited are you for tonight?
Oh my god, I'm so excited! I can't wait.
Shit has got to go, because like they left us last week in so many places where I'm like, watching the episode, I was like, oh, God, I'm like, they have to do this next week and this and this and this. And then I'm like, oh, they're not. They're just going to go to the other characters next week. So we'll get, like, Bran again. But then they show the preview, and it's like, oh, my God, no, that's happening, and that's happening, and that's happening.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I can't wait tonight. Okay, it's only, like, 9 hours away, 12 hours away. Anyway, okay, Wayne continues. Glee started this episode in full-on election mode, with Finn and Rachel both narrating and acting very much like their counterpoint characters from that movie. It's getting to the point that people who see election are now liable to think it's a ripoff of Glee. Rachel, here's a historical tidbit that may have helped you in this episode. Fanny Bryce was not a fictional character created by Barbra Streisand. She wasn't one of the Smurfs. She didn't live in the Shire, Mordor, or the Merryland of Oz. She was a real fucking person. There are plenty of recordings of her, both records and literally hours and hours of radio shows. She even did a handful of movies, so there's video you can actually watch of her in action. If you are truly preparing to play this woman on Broadway, you might want to start there. But let's be totally honest here. A revival of Funny Girl is a safe, familiar show put forth for the benefit of tourists who want to know in advance that they're getting before they plunk down a lot of cash for Broadway tickets. The producers might as well want a Barbara wannabe in that case. Lea Michele is Rachel Berry as Barbra Streisand as Fanny Bryce. And speaking of, they were going to be doing a revival of Funny Girl with Lauren Ambrose.
Really?
Yeah, because Lea Michele was, like, gunning for the part and had, like, publicly said, like, I would fly back and forth from L.A. to New York every day if I was still doing Glee and got Funny Girl. Like, she was ripping. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, when they said, like, oh, hey, Lea, like, we're going to have you audition for a Broadway show this season. What do you want, Funny Girl? Like, I could picture, like, that being part of her contract stipulation.
I feel like Lauren Ambrose is such a bizarre choice.
Well, she, I mean, she can. She's like a trained opera singer. She can sing.
Yeah, no, I know she can sing. I just mean looks-wise.
Right, right.
She's like the polar opposite of both Barbara and Rachel. I don't know what Fanny
but
Bryce actually
I don't know, yeah,
like.
Exactly. Like, I have, actually have no familiarity with the actual Fanny Bryce. So, it you know, it may be one of those. Like, she actually brings something new to it.
I love Lauren Ambrose.
I know, me too. Such a girl. And I know people who saw her when she did Romeo and Juliet and said that she was just amazing on stage. It keeps getting delayed, though, so I don't know if it's, it may have fallen apart, I don't know. I don't know if that's happening or not, but anyway. Wayne continues, so, Nenea Leakes's, fuck it, I'm not interested. Moving on. You need to patch a hole in this fence so the squirrels don't escape. One of the script's few good lines, and it's well delivered by Dot Marie Jones. Beast got some dignity back this week. I will not mince words here. I hate everything about Marley. The character was badly conceived from the get-go, and the actress is, I'm sorry to say, terrible in the role, making the character even worse. I'm sure the young lady playing Marley is very nice in real life, and I'm glad she got the opportunity of a lifetime to star in a primetime network TV show, but she just doesn't have the chops for this. I don't really keep tabs on these things, but I have to imagine that critical and fan reaction to Marley has been toxic. And yet, instead of easing up, the show is doubling down. They're not taking no for an answer when it comes to Marley, but this whole story about her and her stupid, stupid songs is just inexcusable. A total waste of time that could be better spent elsewhere. It feels very much to me, and I know I've talked about Smash a lot this week, but it feels very much like Karen Cartwright, Catherine McPhee on Smash, where the fan reaction, for the most part, is, you gotta be kidding me with this. Like, she's not what you're trying to make her into something for me as a viewer, and it's not working. And I think it's the same thing with Marley, that, like, I don't know, maybe some of the younger audience likes her, I don't know. Okay, Wayne continues. Pretty much all the Glee Clubbers were locked into bad subplots this week. They all just seemed like jerks, and I didn't want to hang out with them. Steampunk Tina? Nah, I'll take a pass on that. Sam pretending he's a twin? Thanks, but no thanks. Unique popping birth control pills so he can grow breasts? No. Even Blaine seemed like a spoiled, entitled brat this week. What made Unique's story intolerable was the line, why not? Trans kids everywhere are doing it. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I realized, oh shit, Ryan Murphy heard something that's somewhere and decided he had to work it into the show. You can't keep using Wade as the poster child for every issue in the LGBT community. If you do, he becomes a stereotype rather than a human being, and that's the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish with him.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Where is Joe? Samuel Joe.
Joe and Sugar. Yeah. Last week I asked you about Sugar and we still didn't have an answer.
But they mentioned her.
They did.
I feel
yeah.
like Joe hasn't been mentioned in like
I don't know.
15 episodes.
And I don't know. Well, he was definitely in the show in the beginning of the season, he was there quite
yeah.
a bit.
And he has a couple of lines.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate him as much.
No. I think he was used actually quite well this year. But and I think the actor has a good hold on kind of the character now.
Wade is still hanging around, though, is he?
I guess it's a question on how many, maybe it was an episode, maybe they gave him a certain number of episodes, and they're still parlaying how they're using him. I don't know, but that's a good question.
But he should at least be in, like, the background shots, like, the group numbers. Like, he was noticeably missing from the group numbers.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, and again, it's like, could you have a show in Lima that was just Joe and Sam and Tina? Probably not.
No.
But still, give me Joe before you give me Marley, please.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Anyway.
Will was his usual dickish self this week, but this regional setlist conundrum, and by the way, who here gives a flying fuck about regionals, was one of those arguments in which everybody is wrong and every possible solution is wrong. I say, let Brad choose all the songs. He's the one who gets stuck playing them. When Will said Sweet Dreams, I didn't automatically think he was referring to Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. Did you know there's a Beyoncé song called Sweet Dreams, which has 61 million hits on YouTube? That's over 3 times more than Sweet Dreams Are Made of This by the Eurythmics. But speaking of the Eurythmics song, which has aged quite nicely because it's kind of weird and timeless, I instantly knew the song should be performed. How the song should be performed. A cappella, with that famous synthesizer part reproduced vocally. Ooh, I like that. A quick search shows that several choirs and college groups have done arrangements like this, and trust me, they're all a zillion times better than any crap Marley could come up with. Well, let's expect Glee to then watch a YouTube video of a college doing it, and then to copy it without sorting. And then, just when I thought the episode couldn't get worse, in steps Shelby with her dead eyes, sledgehammer voice, and general passive-aggressive awfulness. I had to fast-forward through most of the duet with Rachel. It didn't seem to be that great a song. Also, Rachel's bangs are dangerously close to covering her eyes still. Fight for Your Right was another waste of time, and another low light in an episode jam-packed with low lights. What really irks me is that I have an arrangement for that song that I've wanted to do for years. All Glee did was copy the original badly. Boo. Marley's song is as awful as you'd guess it would be. Couldn't stand more than 40 seconds of it. Oh, and look who conveniently overhears it. Subtle Glee. Subtle. I kind of like the Finchel phone scene for a number of reasons. One, I just like split screen. Two, Rachel's bangs are gone and she looks 100% better. Three, it's hilarious and true to the character that Rachel asks Finn how he's doing but quickly gets bored with his answer and starts talking about herself. See, this is why Lea Michele earned her paycheck this week. I wish the scene didn't end with sappy music and speeches, but that's par for the course this week. The show scores major, major points by having Michael Lerner do a guest appearance, even if he doesn't really get to do much, but sit there and be Michael Lerner. He's so fucking good in Barton Fink. Got an Oscar nomination for that one. Now, I really want this plot to continue so that we get more scenes with him as a Broadway producer. I do like Michael. Yeah.
I forgot he was in there.
It was funny because as soon as that guy showed up, I'm like, oh, that guy. And he's such a guy because he's in everything, but I never remember his name.
And I can't think of anything he's been in, but I know he's been in everything.
First thing that comes to mind is the Tales from the Crypt episode about, I think, ice cream or something. Yeah, he's in, like, an evil ice cream man episode of Tales from the Crypt. And he's in everything. I'm surprised he hadn't been on Glee yet, actually, now that I think of it. Was it really necessary to humiliate another plus-size actress Glee? I felt bad for the actress playing the girl who auditioned before Rachel. That was just Glee being a schoolyard bully, pointing, and making fun.
He's an elf. That's what I know him most from.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's the James Caan's voice, boss. So for her audition, Rachel takes a sentimental journey. Get it? Journey? Because the name of the band is... Oh, forget it. I kind of wish we'd gotten to hear a version of this with a solo piano and solo vocal and not just a rehash of the season one arrangement. But this scene plays really, really funny if you think of it as Rachel losing her mind and hallucinating all the other Glee Club members.
I did kind of think that a little bit.
Like, that works for me. I like that it takes her a while to remember Artie. Oh, yes. There was a boy with a wheelchair or something. And he played the guitar all the time, right?
I didn't even think of that.
Pretty great. Because it's funny, because actually, I only thought of it because when they were singing, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm like, that was the original Glee Club. And then Artie comes in, I'm like, oh yeah. The whole Roz, Becky, Blaine, Sue thing. I don't care how, when, or if this is ever resolved. I'd be fine with skipping all of this. Same with Finn becoming Will's equal partner and helping lead them to regionals. I have a feeling this is going to eat up a lot of screen time, and I'm just not that interested in it. In the last 5 minutes or so, we finally get a Rachel Kurt scene. And Kurt is baking cookies. How thoughtful of him. I shouldn't even have to say that we need way more Kurt and way less Marley. But apparently I do need to say it. It's a fucked up world, ain't it, gals? The show refuses to go out on a high note. Rachel getting a callback about a callback and instead drags us back to McKinley for another god-awful Marley song and the show's one zillionth up with people ending. Boo and double boo. And next week, Glee is presumably going to rock me. At least that's what they're threatening to do in the promo. I'm on tenterhooks. So that was Sweet Dreams, an episode which, apart from a few minutes of Rachel stuff, was a complete flop, one of the worst, most predictable, and least imaginative of the season. And roughly 60% of the blame for it belongs to Ms. Marley Rose. Steampunk Tina didn't help, though. Sincerely, for the real this time, Wayne Kotke, who PPSs with this episode, doesn't deserve a special song, but here's one anyway. So he gives us a song. Yes. Please stick that on in.
I shall.
Thank you. For the last time,
yes, Wayne our Kotke. Final email from Mr. Final Wayne Kotke. He served us well.
Indeed, you can still find him, of course, at d2writes.blogspot.com. He, of course, as always, has a variety of good writing on interesting topics that I'm sure many of our readers would, or readers, our listeners, would enjoy reading. Indeed. So, next week, we get more Glee.
All right.
We'll see where they go, how that happens, what goes on. Indeed.
I guess we have to.
Yes, indeed.
You can email us at gleecast@gmail.com. Come to our Facebook group.
We have fun there.
Find us.
Yeah, a good time there.
And, excuse me, y'all. We'll talk to you next week.
We shall.
All right.